بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Once again, welcome to the second years to our to this class again. Which hadith did you discuss last week? Was it this one? إذا نهيتكم عن شيء فاجتنبوه وإذا أمرتكم بأمر فأتوا منه ما استطعتم. No, I don't think we actually even got into this hadith. Last week we were discussing I think we were discussing the importance of, you know, having our ethical epistemology, or how we define good and bad, be directly related to the sources of Islam, the Quran and Sunnah. We don't try to overstate the role of our own intellect in that process, but lest we in reality be guided by our nafs rather than our aql and qalb and ruh. Yeah, that's what we were discussing last week, if I remember correctly. What I wanted to discuss this week is the idea of over-pietism. What do I mean by that? Is it possible that a person can be too pious? You tell me. Let's see.
Yes, Malala. Yes, Malana, because
we have a no and we have a yes.
Like we find in the other religions, like these monks that just wants to go in complete seclusion and cut themselves off from the world. You still have to engage with the dunya.
Right. Okay, that's a good example. And I'm sure Sister Sabir always said no as a different explanation. That's exactly what I was going to get to. Depends on how you define piety or taqwa. What I'm speaking about here is maybe the concept of over adherence to ritual acts. And so I wanted to just touch on this idea that it is possible to overly emphasize ritual acts of worship and then become hardened by that and think that that's piety. But in reality, that's not the case. And look, I mean, this book that we're taking is a hadith from, a fleeing from faith to faith. It's a hadith book. It's essentially a compilation of hadith. It's a compilation of hadith that deal with medicine, pandemics, taking precaution and stuff like that. So how does this topic tie in with that? The topic ties in that the topic ties in that sometimes people get the idea that we must have or we must live against the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. We must live against the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in our expression of our piety. And that is in fact what Allah wants from us. So I must give up everything of the dunya in my attempt to be abstinent. Or I must just engage in ritual acts of worship. There's this idea that exists in the minds of people, and it's actually one of the ploys of shaitan to sully our deen. I see a question. religiosity. Is that asking what the word religiosity means, or? Like, is that the question you're asking? Religiosity would translate in Arabic to the word at-tadayyun, like adherence to religion, or adherence to aspects of religion.
Yes, no, I was just about more than that to interrupt. I was thinking, is that overemphasis on rituals in the sense of religiosity differing from piety?
Yes, yes. You couldn't say so, yes. Like it's over-religiosity. Or in Arabic, the word would be tadayyun. There's a difference between deen and tadayyun. Like one's the deen, the way of life of Islam, the all-encompassing, the worldview, the philosophy, the law, the beliefs, the ethics, all of that forms part of the deen of al-Islam. Tadayyun is like the implementation of that, or the adherence of people to that. And that's what may differ, and that's where people make things wrong. So I was still indicating, you know, why is this chapter even in this book? The chapter is in the book is because people sometimes, they feel that you have to have almost irrational, almost irrational adherence to the faith. And that's not what Islam calls for. We never, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, have the idea that the Sharia never tells you to do something that is irrational. It may transcend your rationality, but it's not irrational. It doesn't go against rationality. And so when we understand that, you know, to live whilst taking medicine, whilst taking precautions, you know, do things systematically, that's part of our deen. And that's all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really requires from us. We have a very natural way of life. We have a natural way of life. It doesn't overemphasize one thing beyond its scope. The only, you know, there's few things that there should be like an unfettered focus on. But those are actually the forces that balance. For example, the remembrance of Allah, just as we were speaking about, or belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or cognizance of Allah. That's something you can never have enough of. You can never have enough of that. Why? Because it is that consciousness of Allah, that cognizance of Allah, that actually balances you. That causes you to live according to the Sharia, which brings about balance. But you can never get enough of that. You can never get enough of having the right will or the right balance of sabr and shukr. There is no such thing as a toxic amount of good thought in Allah. Unless obviously now you are using that to justify sin. But in retrospect, there isn't any amount of that's too much. So here we have some ahadith to read. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to read a few ahadith and then we'll discuss them in later on. So I have the first hadith here. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا نهيتكم عن شيء فاجتنبوا. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم says, when I prohibit you from something, then stay away from it. فاجتنبوا, then avoid it. وإذا أمرتكم بأمر, and when I command you with some command, فأتوا منه ما استطعتم. فأتوا منه. أتى means to approach, to come to something. So he says, فأتوا منه, then I come or bring from it, produce from it, do of it, ما استطعتم, what you are able to. ما that which استطعتم. استطعتم is from where? It's from the 10th باب. From the 10th باب, right? استطاع يستطيع. The root letters are طاء واو عين. And on the 10th باب, it means to have ability, to have capacity for something. So what does Rasulullah say? When I prohibit you from something, stay away from it. When I command you something, when I command you to do something, then do what? Do as much of it as you can. This is not, Rasulullah is not saying this for you to justify your laziness, right? So that you can say, oh, I can't make two rakahs tahajjud, it's too difficult for me. No, no, no. You can do that. You're justifying laziness. Right? But when something is really beyond the pale of your ability, then Allah doesn't expect it from you. Allah doesn't expect it from you. Allah doesn't expect us to read, every one of us to read a khatam of Quran every day. Some people can do that. Very few people can do that. But Allah doesn't expect that from us. For many people, it's beyond the pale of their ability. So Rasulullah says, when I give you a command, then do as much of it as you are able to. And this is supported by the Quranic ayah. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Have taqwa of Allah as much as you can. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says something. And this is actually what we're getting to. عن يعلى بن أمية رضي الله عنه قال قلت لعمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه ليس عليكم جناح أن تقصروا في الصلاة إن خفتم أن يفتنكم الذين كفروا. This person, يعلى بن أمية, he says that I said to عمر رضي الله عنه, right? I said to him that the Quran says that, that's not part of the hadith, but he's saying, I said to him this verse, which is a verse of Quran. What does the verse say? There is no problem, or there is no harm, there's no sin upon you if you shorten the prayer, if you fear that those who disbelieve will attack you, place you into a trial. فَقَدْ أَمِنَ النَّاسِ. So the people become safe on account of that. فَقَالَ عَجِبْتُ مِمَّا عَجِبْتَ مِنْهُ. Then Umar radiallahu anhu tells Ya'la, I became amazed by the same thing that amazed you. Right? I was amazed by this verse where Allah says, if you fear the people are going to harm you, then shorten your prayer. If you fear that people are going to harm you, then there's no problem if you shorten your prayer, your salah, that most important thing. Right? The first question or the first action you're going to be asked about in the grave. Allah says, if you fear that people are going to harm you, then you can shorten your prayer. There's no problem with that. And then people felt safe on account of it. Umar then says, the exact same thing that amazed you, O Ya'la, in that verse amazed me. فَسَأَلْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. So I asked Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ذلك about that. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told me, صَدَقَةٌ تَصَدَّقَ اللَّهُ بِهَا عَلَيْكُمْ فَاقْبَلُوا صَدَقَتَهُ. That is a charity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to you. So accept Allah's charity. What is he saying? Allah made things light for you. Allah gave you a concession. That's Allah's charity towards you. You're supposed to give him 4 rakat. Allah says, it's okay, I'm writing off 2 of those rakat. Accept Allah's charity. There's a difference of opinion amongst the Madai whether you have to accept a dispensation in the Sharia or concession. When there's a standard rule, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates a different rule in certain circumstances, is it better to follow the normal rule or to take the easier route? A person with a mindset that, no, I have to, with this mindset of over-pietism. They may think that I have to, they may feel burdened, they have to do more. Usually I make 4 rakat, how can I make 2 rakat today? The teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, this is a charity that Allah gave you. Accept Allah's charity. So what's Rasulullah? It's as if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraging you. Make 2 rakats rather than making 4. In fact, most people don't know this. In the Shafi'i madhab, in the Hanafi madhab, if you're traveling, you have to shorten your prayer. In the Shafi'i madhab, if you're traveling, jama', the Shafi'i say you don't have to make jama'. There's difference of opinion there. So you don't have to make jama'. But as for shortening the prayer, making your salah shorter, it's mustahab, it's recommended to shorten your prayer. So what is that saying? It's saying it's better in that case to make less salah than to make more salah. It's better to make 2 rakat instead of making 4 rakat. That's more pleasing to Allah. Now, for many people, that may be like counterintuitive, but I'm doing more. How can it be better? No. Piety isn't about doing what you think you must do. Piety is about maintaining the balance that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Right? And that's extremely important. That's like we're going to the next hadith. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna Allah yuhibbu an tu'ta rukhasuhu kama yakrahu an yu'ta ma'asiyatuhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah loves that his dispensations or his concessions are taken just as he dislikes when you sin against him. Allah likes that. So what's he saying? What's this dispensation? Rukhsa. A rukhsa is when Allah lightens something or makes something easier for you. Allah loves that you take the easier route in that case. Just as Allah detests that you sin against him. You should never sin against Allah. So similarly, you should take the dispensations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to you. In another hadith, عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في سفر. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم was on a journey. فرآ زحاما ورجلا قد ظلل عليه. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم saw a crowd around a man and there was shade covering that man. The man was being shaded by the crowd. فقال ما هذا. Rasulullah said, what is this? فَقَالُوا صَائِمٌ. They said, he's a fasting person. So he was on a journey. Now because this one guy is fasting, everybody's like crowding around him. Right? They're shading him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, what's this? They say, it is a fasting person. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said ليس من البر الصوم في السفر ليس من البر الصوم في السفر. It is not from piety to fast while you are on travel. It's not from piety to fast while you are on travel. Now, what's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying? He's telling you there's this beautiful, brilliant act of worship. There's details to this, right? There's details to this. If it's a fast like where it's a specific day, like for example, the fast of Ashura, that's a specific day with virtue, then you can fast that day. But just a general fast or the fast of Ramadan, it's better to delay the fast. What's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying? He's telling you this beautiful act of fasting when you're on travel, don't do it. It's not an act of piety. It's a hadith from Bukhari. If you think about all of these hadith that we mentioned today, for me, it's important in shaping our idea of how we must live as people. Islam is not an unnatural way of life. It's not an overburdensome way of life. مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. Allah said, Allah hasn't given us the Quran so that we can become burdened, so that we can despair. No. This Quran, the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yes, there is a little bit of difficulty to overcome the nafs to implement this deen, but in reality, it's an easy deen. It's an easy deen. Allah made the deen easy for us. Nobody makes this deen difficult except that it overpowers him. He becomes distant from it. He dislikes it. That's what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Inna deena yusrun. The deen is easy. وَلَنْ يُشَادَ الدِّينُ إِلَّا غَلَبَ. Nobody makes the deen difficult except that it overpowers him. In another hadith, it's mentioned that Rasulullah SAW, he was never given two choices except that he chose the easier of those two choices. It's not about seeking out difficulty. Yes, there are times when, in specific instances, where a person maybe has a sickness in their nafs, and they need to oppose that sickness to remove it from themselves. For example, if a person is miserly, then for that person, it's good for him to give a lot of charity. It's good for him to give a lot of charity. Though he may find that difficult, but that's just to bring himself back to an equilibrium, to a point where he's neither miserly, nor he's just wanton in spending his wealth. But this deen is a deen of balance. It's a deen not seeking out difficulty. It's a natural way of life. So if there's sickness, then take medicine. If there's harm, then take precautions. Allah doesn't expect more from you than that. When there's concessions made, when Allah tells you that the mu'adhin must say it's raining too hard, make salah at home, then make salah at home. That's Allah making easy for you. Why would you want to do something else? When Allah says you're traveling, you don't have to fast, follow. That is in fact piety. That is in fact true piety. When you recognize this natural, balanced way of life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us truly appreciate this beautiful, natural way of life of Al-Islam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us and revealed to us in the Quran. The Quran that guides us in every way, that teaches us what is natural, what is correct, and what is. Let us not be like those who try to make life difficult for themselves, who try to complicate the deen, and who are not able to fulfill that. Allah mentions in the Quran, وَرَهْبَانِيَّةً يَبْتَدَعُوهَا مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَّا بِتِغَاءِ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ فَمَا رَعُوهَا حَقَّ رِعَايَتِهَا. Allah speaks about the monks, and Allah says, you know, they created this monasticism. They fabricated it from themselves. They made it up. Allah didn't impose it upon them. مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ. We did not prescribe it for them. They did it seeking pleasure of Allah. They had a good intention. They wanted to please Allah. But they decided to take a course that Allah didn't impose upon them. They decided to create this difficult path that Allah didn't prescribe for them. And then Allah says, فَمَا رَعَوْهَا حَقَّ رِعَايَتِهَا. They created that standard for themselves and they were not able to maintain it. They were not able to fulfill its right. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us like those people. Rather, we're people that gradually progress, gradually improve ourselves. But we also realize that at times, it's a time for fasting. At times, it's a time for eating. At times, it's a moment of prayer in the night. And at times, it's a moment to sleep in the night. At times it's a moment to be serious. At times it's a moment to be jolly and jovial. And inshallah, if we appreciate the natural way of life, we will truly become a people, a representative of a deen that other people will incline to. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us that. Wa jazakum Allahu khairan wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Question. Assalamu alaikum. I think I missed you. I'm going to explain why these hadith are in this book that is dealing with hadith and pandemic. Well, the reason it's in this book is because in the time of pandemic, there's certain dispensations that come about, like the fact, or like the idea was being promoted of the fact that you don't have to stand side by side with somebody in the prayer when that's going to put your life in danger. You don't have to attend the Jama'ah Salah, even Jumu'ah, when that's going to pose some threat to your life. Then Allah lightens the ruling. So now some people say, no, when there's harm, when there's potential harm in a place, the Shara'i ruling is that I don't have to go and perform Jama'ah Salah. But they'll say, no, but we must, we have to. Rather, there is a dispensation there that Allah gave you to Sadaqah, so accept Allah's Sadaqah. Don't try to be, don't become like those people who prescribe for themselves that which Allah didn't prescribe for them. So it was there to create a willingness and an understanding that when Allah creates these dispensations, there is nothing wrong with taking them. In fact, we should take them and appreciate them. Right? And at the end, wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. I want to take up the whole break, so we'll end there for now. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.